In today's show, we're looking at NBA trades that have gone down, blockbusters, including Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder moving on from the Thunder. And we're also going to preview NBA free agency, Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at RedRock underscore Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. The NBA's trade period, I guess, has opened up and deals have gone down. We're going to talk about all the deals that have gone down, some rumored deals, and look at free agency. And to do that today, I am going to be joined by the Western Bulldogs, Adam Treloar. Adam is going to come in and talk about the NBA with me and about these moves that have gone down. So let's bring him in right now. All right, so let's bring him in now. Adam Treloar is here to talk to me about the moves that have gone down already in the NBA and the moves that are going to be happening, we think, over the next couple of days. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here to talk about the NBA. Now, you are a massive NBA fan, and those of you in the US who don't know Adam, he is a quite a high-profile athlete over here in Australia as part of the AFL, new member of the Western Bulldogs. But we're not here to talk about footy, Adam. We're here to talk about the NBA and a trade. Well, we woke up this morning and two trades went down, but the big one, of course, is Chris Paul headed across to the Phoenix Suns, along with Abdul Nadir, in exchange for Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre, Jalen Lecque, Ty Jerome, and a 2022 first-rounder. Are you surprised to see Chris Paul moved already?
No, I think that's going to sort of be the gist for him going forward. He sort of goes onto a team and then does his best that he can. I think it's funny that, if we were to say this time last year, Chris Paul was getting traded for Russell Westbrook, you would have thought Russell Westbrook's side clearly won that trade. But the year that CP3 had to be, an all-NBA player, all-star, lead a team that was tanking for draft picks. You can see why he was highly sought after. So whether it works out in Phoenix or not, I'm not sure. I wish Kelly Oubre stayed because, to me, being a massive Kevin Durant fan, and this is a very poor man's, I think Kelly Oubre is a very poor man's Kevin Durant. He can do a bit of everything, and it would have been exciting to see him there with Booker and Chris Paul, but I'm not sure. I really don't know how it's going to work out for Phoenix because I think they need a few more pieces to contend. And I know CP3 all he wants to do is contend. So I wish he went to one of the LA teams and teamed up with either LeBron or Kawhi Leonard. But I think on a positive note, it's really exciting for Devin Booker because you could see how come towards the end of that bubble run that he had where he had won those eight games and dominated. He did need that help, and to have a veteran like Chris Paul come in who's going to be a Hall of Famer, I think it's going to suit him.
Obviously, yeah, Paul is huge. He was massive last year, as you said, and yeah, people were considering him as a negative contract. Like to get off Chris Paul, you have to give away all these draft picks, which is exactly what the Rockets did in that situation. But now he is a player that has regained his value. The worry I have here, Adam, is that Chris Paul has been injured for quite a bit. Like, he's had quite a lot of hamstring injuries, and at his age, those problems don't usually go away. Now, he missed one game last season, and that was after the death of Kobe Bryant. So he was remarkably healthy. I don't see that continuing this year. So the Suns, Rubio was fantastic for them. He's not a guy that's always healthy anyway, but there is that risk there that Paul at 34, 35, getting paid $40 million a year, that if he gets hurt, that Phoenix is in a little bit of trouble. But I think having to make that move is the right one, but there is a risk associated with it.
Well, I totally agree. I also think what helped Chris Paul in Oklahoma is he had the luxury to, I guess, throw to Dennis Schroeder and Shai. I can never pronounce his last name, Grigius Alexander, however you pronounce it. But he had the luxury to have those three ball-dominant players. So, like you said, if he gets injured at the Phoenix Suns and misses some time, that help that Devin Booker was having is going to disappear, because you speak of losing Kelly Oubre and Ricky Rubio. They're two guys that can handle the rock and really control an offense. So there is a lot of risk to it, but it'd be interesting to see how it plays out.
Look, they obviously had campaign really step up for them in the bubble. Now, I don't expect him to do that over a long period of time, especially if Paul goes down. But it is a risk there. And yeah, Rubio was unbelievable for Phoenix last season and really was the guy that got them to be, to elevate their play. Obviously, Devin Booker's the guy that drives it, but upgrading from where they were running Shaq Harrison and Isaiah Cannon at point guard to Ricky Rubio was a huge part. Now they upgrade again. I am not convinced that Oubre remains as a member of the Thunder, much like I'm not convinced that Danny Green does. We'll talk about that trade later. I think that Oubre is a massive chance to be dealt, perhaps to the Warriors, in terms of their trade exception for Andre Iguodala. So I'm not, this Thunder team is far from set, and I think more moves are coming. But let's talk about another deal that did go down. We all need help to get through the day. You know that afternoon wall, whether it's mental or physical, it's a real pain. But Built Go is here to be that solution for you to break through your wall. What's your wall? Is it something physical? You're out gardening all day? You're in the office trying to deal with meetings? How do you break through your wall? With Built Go, they come in easy 1.5-ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase, put it in your car, wherever it is. Built Go is the energy gel to help you get through the day. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, and it's natural. And it comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. The energy gel is combined with collagen protein, which is fast absorbing, and it gets into your system fast to promote joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use that promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. While we were asleep today, Adam, and that is, well, actually, this one was yesterday. This is another one involving the Thunder, and that is Dennis Schroeder heading to the Lakers, Danny Green and pick 28 heading to the Thunder. Schroeder, I am imagining, with the Lakers will start, because it looks like Avery Bradley will be testing free agency, and he is going to be courted by the Bucks and the Warriors. So I think he is out, Danny Green is out, and both of those guys started. So I think Schroeder moves in, and Rondo will move on from the Lakers, it appears, at this point. Do you think that getting Schroeder with the loss of likely Rondo, likely Bradley, and Danny Green is a win for the Lakers?
Yeah, I think it's huge personally, because in my own mind last year, I know he didn't win Sixth Man of the Year, but Dennis Schroeder clearly to me was the best player off the bench that could have started for so many teams. You've seen in the bubble they spoke about playoff Rondo and how good he was. He was enormous for the Lakers and in the way that they played, especially down the stretch during games when LeBron needed a break, and obviously AD as well, who doesn't really handle the rock as much as those two, clearly. But I think bringing in a guy like Schroeder, what he'll lack, I guess, defensively or whatever, compared to Rondo, I think he brings in spades with his offense, the way he can run an offense. I think LeBron clearly needs that help, especially when he's tired, like I touched on. And I think it's a really good get for him. I think it's exciting. One thing I need to touch on, because being an Oklahoma fan, Oklahoma now have, because they obviously traded the first round pick, went to Oklahoma from the Lakers, they now have 15 first round picks in the next 7 years. So I feel like it's a win-win situation for them. Whether they can keep using those first round picks is something you got to question. But I guess back to the question, Dennis Schroeder, I think, is an awesome fit for the Lakers.
Now, in terms of those Thunder selections, I don't know if you watched it the other day. It was here on ESPN, the high school showcase between Chet Holmgren and Amani Bates. And those guys were unbelievable. To go along with Cade Cunningham next year, the amount of talent coming through the drafts in the next 3 years, not this year necessarily, but it's crazy. Did you catch that game?
I did. That was unbelievable. And the fact that they showcase those games is very exciting, especially here in Australia, because we don't get to see quality like that. So it was very exciting.
Yeah, so that's what the Thunder is doing. Now, who's to say that these Clippers picks are going to be good picks? They're probably not. But the Rockets picks, there's a lot going on in Houston. So they might end up being pretty strong picks over the next couple of years. And the Thunder's draft hand is unbelievable. I don't think Danny Green stays with your Thunder, to be honest. I think that they got pick 28 back here, and they're going to flip Green to another team. Like, he is really good, despite the Lakers having their concerns about what he did in the bubble and worries about how the shot wasn't going in, because it wasn't going in. But he is a really good player, and he is going to net some sort of asset moving forward here for the Thunder. He just doesn't fit what they're doing.
No, he needs to I guess, I don't know how old he is. He'd be obviously mid-30s.
Yeah, he's 33, I think.
There you go. Guys like that need to go to contending teams. I can't see him, I guess, being a professional athlete myself when you get a bit older. You just want to go to teams that you know are going to win and give yourself the best opportunity to, I guess, win championships. And that's exactly what he's doing. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up going to a contending team. Who that is, I don't know. But you're right. With the bubble issue and, you know, his shot definitely wasn't falling. And you could see in the rotation he started to come down the pecking order a bit because, obviously, KCP came on really well and was scoring really well toward the end. So he'll be fine because I think even when his shot isn't falling, you can rely on him, even though he's getting a bit older, being a perimeter defender who defends, you know, their best wing scorer or their wing option. So I won't be surprised if he ends up getting to a contending team. He might even move to the Clippers. Who knows?
That would be very intriguing. His defense has fallen off a bit. His shot has fallen off, but he's still a useful player for contending teams. Now, the other trade that did go down today, a lesser trade, of course, Bruce Brown going from the Pistons to the Brooklyn Nets in exchange for Janan Musa and a 2021 second round pick going to the Pistons. Brown, who was the starting point guard for the Pistons at the end of last season, now it looks like he'll be in a almost non-existent role. But to me, Adam, what this means is that Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, one of those guys is probably on the move for Brooklyn because acquiring Brown to not play doesn't really make a ton of sense unless they think that something else is happening with some of those backup guards.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's been a lot of talk about what's happening in Brooklyn and whether James Harden is floating that option. And I think they're giving themselves a good opportunity to be able to move, some players on to bring in, obviously, a guy like James Harden. Because you look at the group that they have guys like Spencer Dinwiddie, Claxton's there. They've got Jarrett Allen. They've got some really good players and good asset players that you could trade away for a player to come in. And if we were to touch on, I guess, that James Harden or anyone potentially going to Brooklyn, the obvious guy to me that moves on from Brooklyn is Spencer Dinwiddie. And you speak on Bruce Bowen going in and being Bruce Brown, sorry, going in and going into a nothing role. I think Spencer Dinwiddie's the one that, if something were to happen, moves on because you've seen what he can do when he runs an offense. When Kyrie was out for the majority of the year, he came in. And I remember there was a stretch where Kyrie first came out. He averaged 27 points and 6 rebounds a game in the month of December. So I think there's something brewing in Brooklyn. It's exciting.
So we'll talk about that. Now, in terms of Musa, people who are listening to this are going to want to know, does he have an opportunity in Detroit? And yes, he's got a much bigger opportunity in Detroit than he did in Brooklyn. But there's still a lot to play out. What happens with Christian Wood? What do they do with Blake Griffin? What do they do with pick number 7? But there is at least an opportunity here for Musa to crack the rotation. I think he can be good, but he hasn't shown it yet. But now there is at least that opportunity. But let's talk about what you mentioned and that report coming out from Shams Charania today that James Harden has really interested in a trade away from Houston. And the teams that he's looking at are the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers with his former GM, Daryl Morey, there. Which team would you say is a favourite to get him in terms of what they could give back?
I personally think Brooklyn. I think they also have pick 19 this year and they've got all their future first-round picks. I think that comes into play a little bit. I think with the talent that they've got, I mean, you know, if you were to go to Philly, you'd look at the guys like Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Al Horford, Tobias Harris. They're on big contracts, and whether Houston want to take up that or then to move them on, who knows? For me personally, I think the team that could give him up or get him is Brooklyn to then give up what they have. And I look at Spencer Dinwiddie, who I rate very, very highly. And guys like Jarrett Allen and like I touched on before, there's guys that I think a bit more upside than the ones in Philly. It would be exciting, though. It'd be exciting to see James Harden potentially go and join a team like that. I don't know how it would work in Philly because then clearly you're taking, I think, Ben Simmons' strengths away because he needs to handle the ball to, I was about to say the footy then, he needs to handle the ball to, to have a massive impact until he can, work on his shooting a bit more. But it just makes a bit more sense going to Brooklyn. And I know they're only rumors and reports, but I feel like it's a genuine thing, and I feel like it could be a massive opportunity for him.
Yeah, it does feel like it is something that is really brewing at this point. Look, if Philadelphia said, we will send you Ben Simmons to Houston, then I think that probably is the package that looks better from a Rockets perspective. I don't think they will do that. No. So then that probably means that, you know, if you are getting LeVert, Dinwiddie, Allen, Claxton, like maybe that group of guys, then that probably looks a little bit more appealing to Houston rather than, hey, please take on Al Horford's bloated contract or take on, you know, 30 plus million a year of Tobias Harris.
Only Tobias Harris, yeah.
Yeah, so totally agree. They're the ones that, look, if Simmons is in there, it's a different story. I just don't think that if you're getting James Harden, you're doing it so you can really, you know, you can win now and then you lose your second best player and an all NBA, all defense player in Simmons to get it done. It doesn't really, it moves the needle a little bit, but it doesn't probably move it as much as it needs to. Westbrook is another name who has been rumored to be dealt with. Him wanting to go back to teams where he can stat pad, and of course the Knicks name's been brought up, the Hornets name's been brought up. Okay, which player, Harden or Westbrook? Because it appears that both of these guys are going to get moved at some point this year. I don't know when, but it does appear that way. Who do you think gets moved first?
It's a tough one. I think Westbrook, because, watching Westbrook and watching, I guess, his demeanor and the way he's out there a lot, I think he could get fed up a lot quicker than what James Harden will. And like you touched on, go on StatPad. I read an article today on Bleacher Report where he wants to go and be himself. So, and what is that? That's stat padding and running an offense and being the main man. So I can see him leaving first. And you touched on New York. I still think he's at an age where he can run a team, but you need to have pieces around him. I never thought Houston was a good fit for him because they obviously played a lot of isolation ball, and that's just how they play. James Harden, Eric Gordon, Russell Westbrook, that's all you seem to see them do last year. Austin Rivers when he came on. But I think he's the one that will move on first. I think he'll get disgruntled. He wants to be the main man. He still has a mindset where he still thinks he can be the main man and not going to a contending team yet is what he wants to do. So I would love to see him go to New York because New York, you know, they haven't had a big superstar like that since really Carmelo Anthony. And it's exciting for New York because, being probably the highest profile team in the NBA outside of America, right up there with Boston and the Bulls and the Lakers, it'd be exciting for a guy like Russell Westbrook to go to the Mecca and be the main man. But to answer your question, I think he's the one that would leave first if someone were to leave.
I tend to agree. I think it probably will be Russ that is moved on first. It'd be so interesting to see what ends up happening. And this is why, some people have been saying, like, Josh, you have your fantasy rankings or you're doing drafts. Like, there's so much that's going to happen in these next weeks, 2 weeks, it's going to happen. And we just don't know what it's going to be. And we've already seen your pieces drop already, Schroeder and Chris Paul. Like, these are moves that impact, three, four, five teams at a time. And we're going to see more of that go down. The other guy who's looks like he's almost going to be dealt at some, or almost definitely going to be dealt at some point, is Jrue Holiday, who I think has a lot more value than a Russell Westbrook. But, in terms of the salary, it's a little bit easier to match. Do you think the Pelicans should be moving on from Jrue Holiday? And which sort of teams do you think is he a good fit on?
Yeah, I do. I think they should. I like that Zion can build around Zion. I think for me, Jrue, again, he's one of my favourite players in the NBA. I think he never gets the recognition or the credit that he deserves. He plays at an all-star level every year. He defends the opposition best players. He can get you 20 points a night if he needs to. He does it all. So for me, I think he needs to go to a contending team because if I were to put myself in his shoes, I think he's 30, which isn't overly old in the NBA terms. I mean, you look at LeBron James, he's 36 or whatever, he's the best player in the game. I think the teams that are contending, and you look at the teams, we touched on Dennis Schroeder and being a good fit in LA because of his ball dominant skills. I think Jrue Holiday should look at teams like that. Teams like the LA teams, because you look at the Clippers, they don't have you know, a guard, a set guard that they play. He's definitely an upgrade from Pat Beverley if he were to go there. For me, he's in the same boat almost as what Chris Paul was when he got traded. I think his value is very underrated, but you get him into a good fit like Chris Paul was at Oklahoma, his value will just skyrocket. So, yeah, I think the contending teams. I look at Toronto as well, and whatever Van Vliet does, no one knows what he's going to do. He did come out and say he wants to get paid, which is pretty funny. But I reckon he'd be a good fit there next to Kyle Lowry. He's a good scheme fit there. Obviously, they preach defense, and they won a few years ago because of Kawhi Leonard, but their defense was awesome. So, yeah, I think a contending team for Jrue Holiday.
I would like to see him go to Denver, and I'd be happy to give up Gary Harris, even Michael Porter. I think that would really push them over the edge if they had him with Jamal Murray, with Jokic. You know, we had news today of Jeremy Grant declining his player option, so we don't know if he's going to be coming back, but that would be one that I'm super interested in. So they're the sort of rumored trades, plus the trades that have gone down already. So let's look at some free agents. These are guys who... yeah, they're free agents, but I don't think they really are. Anthony Davis, he's going to be back to the Lakers. Brandon Ingram, restricted free agent, he's going to go back to the Pelicans almost undoubtedly. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's going to opt out, but he's almost definitely going to go back to the Lakers. So there's not a huge amount of interest with those guys. But a name you brought up, Adam, Fred VanVleet. I think he's the best free agent who's realistically available. And you said, yeah, that he's come out and said, yeah, that he just wants money. Like, he's won a championship, he's won money. Now, someone posed this question to me the other day. You're in a good position to answer this question. Someone said, imagine if an AFL player came out and said to the media, guys, I just want to make as much money as possible. Imagine the reaction, whereas Van Vliet says it, we'll go, yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, imagine, it'd be pretty crazy. I think that's just the world that NBA players, well, I think the American athletes live in. But yeah, in terms of Van Vliet, I think rightfully so. Again, they wouldn't have won a couple years ago without his performances, especially Game 6, Game 7. He was, you know, a bit injured this season, but I think he is a player that deserves to get paid. For me, where I think he's going to go, I think he's set on going to a team that is going to clearly pay him. So that's a team that is probably not contending. I have this funny feeling that Zach LaVine is going to leave the Bulls, or the Bulls are trying to move him on. So whether LaVine and Van Vliet is some way packaged up and the Bulls end up, you know, getting Van Vliet and LaVine goes to the Raptors, I'm not sure. But it would be funny, back to what you said, if an AFL player came out and said, I just want to get paid.
Just give me as much money as possible, I'll go anywhere. The media would absolutely melt down if somebody said that. But Van Vliet's an interesting one, because one of the great, I thought, locations for him was going to Phoenix. Now, that's off the table now that Chris Paul is there. The Knicks are an option for him. I think the Pistons, though, with the fact that they've traded Bruce Brown, they know that they are getting a point guard. Now, whether that's through pick 7 and Killian Hayes or Kyra Lewis are falling to them at pick 7, or they are just going, we are maxing you out, Fred. Come here 4 years, 100 plus million. That, to me, is an indication that that is what they are doing. They are either doing the Van Vliet move or they are drafting a point guard. I think Toronto would like to bring him back, but they could get priced out of it, because we know they are trying to preserve some sort of cap space for next year. So he is the most interesting guy on this whole list. Bogdan Bogdanovic is another player who I think can be a massive winning piece for a good team. He's a restricted free agent. The Kings have cleared cap space in order to retain him, but will they do it? Will the offer get too high for him? I think he's almost definitely going to be back in Sacramento, but I can see teams really offering those big offer sheets out there for him. 15, 16 million a year for Bogdanovic, because he is a guy that can shoot. He can defend, he can handle the ball. And those three things, like we talked about with Jrue Holiday, Adam, like, that's super valuable for a contending team.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's going to stay personally, but a team that I looked at that I think he would be an awesome fit at is the Bucks.
Yeah.
Whether they can fit him in or not, no idea, but... you speak about being able to score, and he'd probably come off the bench if he started for the Bucks, and having that, you've seen, you know, when Giannis was off the floor, when Middleton was off the floor, there was really no one else they could fall back to, especially for scoring, and defending, and like you just touched on then, Bogdanovic would be able to bring that in spades. So I think he'll stay, but I reckon the Bucks would be a really good fit for him if he got there.
Yeah, they'd have to do a sign and trade, and it would have to involve Ersan Ilyasova's contract. Robin Lopez has just opted out, so they don't have his money anymore in terms of salary matching. It might be a little bit hard, especially with where's Matthews going. Maybe it's DiVincenzo that's involved. It's probably hard, but it is something that can be done, I think. And one of the other more intriguing free agents out there is Christian Wood, a guy who, realistically, a lot of people in the NBA wouldn't have known about. And he was, honestly, at the beginning of last season, it was a decision between him and Joe Johnson, 58-year-old Joe Johnson, to get that final roster spot on the Pistons. Thankfully, Wood got the spot. He blew up after Drummond was traded, Griffin was injured, Rose was injured, Kennard was injured, and everything just went through him. Now, he is going to be a guy that, again, I thought Phoenix could get in there, but because they are executing this Chris Paul trade now, they don't have cap space. I think Wood, again, probably does end up back with the Pistons, but the Knicks are another team that I think are in the mix there. It could be a really good fit around the league. Did you like what you saw from Wood last season?
Yeah, he was. You talk about fantasy and playing 2K. He's definitely a player that I always try and get on, because I think it's funny that he was, you know, either him or, like you said, 58-year-old Joe Johnson. Because you watch him, and one, he has a lot. He's very athletic, and defensively, he's a beast, absolute beast. And when he got that opportunity, you could see that. And on the other thing, I feel like he finishes around the ring really well, exceptionally well when he got the opportunity, and he brings that energy. So, you can't see him moving on, because it would probably be a hard situation. But teams would be, you know, there'd be teams lining up for his services, teams that need that interior defense, teams like the Warriors who need, you know, interior defense, who need you being able to score inside. I mean, that's always been the biggest issue with a team like the Warriors. So bringing someone in like him, I think, would be unbelievable. Whether that happens, probably not.
It's probably not, because they probably don't have the space. And this is a guy that's bounced around on minimum deals for years and years and years, and he's going to want to get paid. So he's going to be chasing that 10 plus million, you know, per year contract, which, again, if we said that at this point last year, people would think, yeah, crazy. Christian Wood, 4 years, 50 million. What are you talking about? But look, there's a real possibility that that's what's going to happen. I think Joe Harris goes back to Brooklyn. He is, again, a 40%+ three-point shooter that's really valuable. And Malik Beasley, another name here, who's dealing with some legal issues regarding some firearms and drugs charges. So that could possibly reduce his value. I imagine he is back with the Timberwolves as well. Do you have any strong opinions on either Harris or Beasley?
Well, I think they're in the same boat as Davis Bertans as well, and Bogdanovich. Those four players they just bring scoring. They bring, shooting ability, teams that need scoring, teams that need perimeter shooting. I think it's going to, obviously, in terms of Beasley, it's obviously going to have an impact on, you know, what's going on in his personal life at the moment. But, if you're a team that needed scoring, especially off the bench, for me, teams, again, I look at contending teams and teams where they struggled, and teams like Utah Jazz, I think, for me, come to mind with that. I know they had Jordan Clarkson off the bench, but he's another one that we don't know. But say he were to go, I feel like, you know, Malik Beasley or Joe Harris would be perfectly suited at a team like that. And also obviously depends on other fits and who's there. But those four are clearly, to me, the players that offer the most in terms of shooting and being able to bring that scoring when you need it, especially off the bench.
It is going to be, yeah, because that value of just a shooter who can come out and play 25 minutes and get you 16, 17 points is really valuable in today's NBA, and all those guys can do that. You mentioned Davis Bertans there as well. I imagine the Wizards have said all along they're looking to re-sign him on a pretty big deal. Jeremy Grant, Adam, is one that opted out of his $9 million player option today, so he is going to be testing the free agent market, and given how he played in the bubble and showed he could play on the wing and defend threes, even though there is some problems with his shooting, he is going to be a really high demand free agent.
Yeah, well, he's a high energy guy. That's what he brings. And you just touched on there. He's had some issues with his shooting, but I mean, if you get a player that is more than capable of defending all positions, which he can, because I think he's about 6'7" or whatever it is. Again, I look at a team that would need that wing help. Again, need that you know, versatility on being able to defend the opposition best wing player, wing threat, and that's what he did well. So I'm surprised he opted out, because I felt like he was, you know, whether that is to get paid again by the Nuggets, but I feel like he's a really good fit there. Like you said, you touched on in the bubble, he was, you know, arguably one of their most important players. So it's interesting to see what he does.
The Nuggets are a team that often will pay up for their own free agents. They did it with Mason Plumlee. And I think they'll have this discussion with him. So opt out and we'll give you, you know, $345 or whatever it is, and give you a rise on that. I think it was a similar situation with Plumlee as well. So I don't think him opting out means that he is leaving Denver, but it is an opportunity for him to get more money in a situation that he has proven his worth. So I think he's an interesting one. I would still favor him coming back to Denver, because it looks almost certain that Paul Millsap is going to be leaving with interest coming from Miami, Toronto as well. I believe getting some interest in Millsap. Danilo Gallinari, another player, in a couple of older ones here, Gallinari and Dragic. Dragic was fantastic in the bubble, but Gallinari, a guy that he's come out and said the opposite of Fred VanVleet, like, I'll take less money, I just want to go and win a title. So I think Gallinari fits on most teams. Now, whether he's willing to take a mid-level contract versus the $20 million he's been getting remains to be seen. But I like what Gallinari can do, whether that is as a bench scorer or as a starter. You can see him fitting in on most teams, I think, here as free agency kicks off.
Yeah, I feel like he's been around that mark for a long time. It seems like he's been around in the NBA for forever. And you always say every year, I wonder where which contending team he's going to go to now, because surely that's all he wants to do. But I agree with you. I like what he brings. I feel like he can fit in most schemes at most clubs. His ability to be able to score and then do it in all ways. He would be important for a team, again, that is contending. And it's funny that you say he comes out and says the opposite to VanVleet. It shows the difference in their mindset. But you want to see guys like that go and win, because he's been around a long time. He's shown, you know, the ability to be able to run an offense at teams that he's been at. He was, you know, he was missed this year when he missed games. And then when he came back, you've seen how good he was on the offensive side. So for me, looking at guys like Gallinari, you want to see him go and have that opportunity to compete and win a championship. I think he does that. I mean, he obviously came out and said it. The question is whether he does it at a mid-level, because, you know, there is an ego hit there, and you do want to make as much money as possible. But I feel like he's at a stage in his life. And he touched on Goran Dragic. I feel like the Miami Heat is an awesome fit for him. I'd be disappointed if he were to go somewhere else. He was sorely missed in that final series, especially with Bam Adebayo missing as well. But what he brought, he looked like the Goran Dragic of old in a lot of those series that he played in. And I hope he stays. I really hope he stays in Miami, because I feel like he's a good fit there.
Yeah, I think that they'll pony up that money for Dragic, and they'll be like, okay, only 1 year deal, but here's $20 million for 1 year, and then we'll see what happens the year after. I think that he will come back there. And look, probably only one more guy I want to touch on here. There are numerous other free agents, and we'll talk about all these guys once they actually sign. But the one guy I want to touch on here with you, Adam, is Montrezl Harrell. Because he had massive struggles in the bubble, and there are plenty of people who would tell you one of the reasons Doc Rivers got fired, and I'll be one of those people who tell you that, was because he overplayed Harrell. Even though Harrell, sixth man of the year, good scorer, but never made sense with the closing lineup. He was out of shape. He was playing horribly, but he played too much. And it's one of the reasons they lost that series against the Denver Nuggets. So Harrell has lost a ton of money because of some of the failings of Rivers and the things that were completely out of Montrez's control. I think he's gone from the Clippers, and I think someone like Charlotte is going to be putting in an offer for him to be their starting center and play him 30 minutes a night. Do you think I'm being harsh on Montrez? I don't think he can be a player who's a huge contributor as a 30-minute-a-night guy on a contender, but a guy that's going to get numbers, and if he's played in the right role, can be useful. But that, I don't think that was the case for him with the Clippers.
You said it right there. He has to be played in the right role. And you could clearly see that down the stretch. He was a liability, if anything, on a team that needed that support. And, you know, I would have been playing Ivica Zubac ahead of Montrez in those closing moments down the stretch, especially where you could see how out of shape he was. But I agree. I think he has to be in the right role. I look at a team like – I had it written here with Harrell. I look at a team like the Warriors, who do need, energy inside. And again, I touched on before, they need, whether they can fit him in or not, they probably can't. I know they can't, but I look on the hypothetical scheme of things. You know, he would be a good fit there to bring interior help, interior defense. It's always been one of their big issues. And again, I touch on that because, you know, I want to have that fairy tale where Steph and Clay and Draymond come out and they're like they were of old, but they need that help. And I think if Harrell's in that right fit, you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to get more than 30 minutes out of him. You can just see that. You see that. To me, I feel like that is, that is his best. Anything after 30 minutes, he really, I guess, doesn't bring that energy that he needs. And what makes him a really good basketball player is the energy that he brings. And that is why fitted in one of those roles where he comes off the bench or he only plays at max 30 minutes is perfectly suited for him, because anything after that, you're stuffed, you're tired. It's really hard to just bring that energy 100% to every play. So, yeah, I think it has to be, you know, fitted to the way that he plays the role and which, you know, NBA club he goes to. I think his time at the Clippers is done. I mean, it has to be done because you've seen, you know, that they ultimately didn't win, and a lot of teams had them picked as the favourites to win. I know I personally picked them to win. So, yeah, it's a bit of a play this out, but I think he's going to leave. And I think you said Charlotte, but I think a team like the Warriors, if they could fit him, would be awesome.
The Warriors would have to do something with their trade exception some sort of sign and trade. But look, there's always possibilities for these things to go down. And I'm super interested to see where he ends up, because his value is one of the ones where I'm just not really sure how it is going to be viewed around the league. Adam, I reckon we'll call it a day there. I've kept you long enough. Thank you for coming on for the first time and talking about the NBA with me as we're a day away from the, or 2 days away from the NBA draft. Lots of great stuff happening. Trades, free agency, it's all happening in the NBA. Thank you, Adam Treloar, for coming on the show with me.
Thanks, Josh. I appreciate it, mate.
All right. So that will do it for today's show. Again, we're going to talk more free agency. I didn't cover all the free agents today because there was a lot of trade news to talk about. I'll be back tomorrow with another mock draft. And if there's any trade news that goes down, there will be a show on trades as well. Don't forget, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, and there is the Discord channel as well. So check out the links to the Discord channel that I tweet out. There's a post over on the Fantasy Basketball subreddit as well. It's also in the show notes and the description for this audio and video. So check that out. Thank you again to Adam for coming on. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.